Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Like we said, we were going to mix things up on you a little bit today. Because today we are celebrating, as you heard in the gospel, the baptism of our Lord. And this is one of the 4 days throughout the church calendar that we are instructed to renew our baptismal covenants ourselves, which we have already done this morning in this service. And I have to confess to you that when I was first preparing for today and I was doing all my background look of, you know, what are the lessons, what are the readings going to be, and I saw that we were going to renew our baptismal covenants today, I said to myself, self, we just did that 2 weeks ago.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, I mean, why are we going to do it again? And I was assured by someone who will remain nameless, but his initials are Father Looker, that we always do this because this is part of who we are. This is how we did it out of order 2 weeks ago to baptize a child who it was convenient for. You can baptize someone basically any time, but there are 4 times in liturgy that you were to renew your baptismal covenant, and it's very proper at that time to hold any children until that service, okay? But there are a few other things that are going on. Because this is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, and because as a liturgical church, we renew our baptismal covenant, there are churches that are like-minded, not just in the CEC, but in any liturgical sacramental church today has just done what you've done. They have renewed their baptismal covenant. We have renewed our commitment, not only our personal commitment to the Lord, but we have renewed our personal commitment to the communion of saints in the Lord. Thank you, Father Looker, for helping me understand that a little bit better. So it's not always about us and what we're doing. Sometimes it's about us being a part of the whole. And standing with everyone else. Amen?
Amen?
Well, baptism is pretty interesting. I'm going to go back to our gospel reading, which was Matthew. And I'm going to read a few verses. It was Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Most of us know the story. John was called into the wilderness, and he dressed different, he acted different than the majority of the people of that day. What was he doing out there? What was John doing out there? He was preparing himself and trying to prepare others for the coming Messiah. His was one of prayer, self-sacrifice, and devotion for this one thing. That was the focus of his ministry. Do you remember at a later time, John said, I must decrease so he can increase? Amen. John knew that his entire ministry was to point to Jesus. And we would be better for it if we understood that's our entire ministry.
Amen.
And that's our entire life. That our ministry and our very lives should point to Jesus. We must decrease so he can increase.
Amen?
Amen? So Jesus comes down to be baptized by John. Now, this is not baptism that you and I have come to embrace in our faith. This was a Jewish baptism that was being done basically for one of two reasons. The main reasons why Jews were baptized was a ceremonial ritual for cleansing. It's because they had come in contact with something unclean. And they were instructed by the priest to be washed in water as a symbol of being cleansed. So if they had touched a dead body or touched a leper or other things that would make them unclean, in their understanding, they would have to go seek a priest and become baptized. Later in the Jewish tradition, as Gentiles, God-fearing Gentiles who came to embrace the Jewish faith, they incorporated baptism as a way of receiving them into the Jewish community. So it really fulfilled two purposes in this time frame. It was for cleansing and it was for receiving. Sounds a little bit like what we do, but at a different level, at a different scale, at a different reasoning. Where this came from was a sect of Jewish people. I'm going to do it, Scott. I'm going to say it. Some of these words, they look like they'd sound one way, and they really say, they pronounce different. It was, while Christianity relates back, I'm going to read just a little bit because I want to get this right. This is my historic side of my random thought today. This is the historic side, so I want to get it right so he doesn't argue with me later. While Christians may relate to baptism as a sign of covenant and purity before God, it still does not bridge the gap between John the Baptist's baptism or baptism of repentance or the messianic thrust of his message. While there was still room for speculation, one possible bridge by some theologians is that John was a member of the Qumran desert sect, best known for the ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're the ones who scribed the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were a sect of Judaism that went out into the desert, almost like our the monks, the desert fathers that would go out and just give themselves to prayer and teaching. And they baptized for reason of ritual purity, but their manual of discipline, what they wrote in their bylaws or what it was to be a member of them, was stated that a person could not become clean if he failed to obey God's commandments. So they took it to another level. They said, you know what? You're not only unclean when you touch something, you're unclean when you don't keep God's commandments. And so they incorporated baptism into a form of repentance, which is why people were coming to John. This was the baptism that John was baptizing people in. He was baptizing them into repentance, not because they were Gentiles coming into the Jewish faith. And he wasn't baptizing them because they had all touched something unclean. He was baptizing them because his message was, we're failing in keeping God's commandments and we have to be baptized. His was a baptism of repentance. And so this is why people were flocking to John, because of his message and his action. They were flocking to John because of his message and his action. That's a good little brief outline historically of what's going on there. But I wonder, if John was baptizing, go with me on this. This would be one of the things, if you wanted to write anything down, this would be it. Because this is a question to ask yourself, because I asked it of myself. If the baptism that John was offering was first for cleansing, ritual cleansing, because you touched something unclean, and it was second because you are Gentile coming into the faith, or it was even third, the deeper meaning of cleansing, because you weren't able to keep the Ten Commandments. That would have been everybody, amen? Why did Jesus get baptized? He who knew no sin. He was born of Mary, so therefore we know he was Jewish, because heritage in the Jewish religion came through the mother. He was Jewish, So he wasn't being received. Yeah, you might could make a case that because he might have been unclean because he touched us. Maybe, but I don't think so. Because anything he touched became holy. And you certainly could not make the case it was because he didn't keep the Ten Commandments. So why did Jesus get baptized? Why did Jesus enter the waters of baptism? As a model, that's good, Don. As a model, because he's got to be the first. So if he was the first into the water as a Christian baptism, then we are to follow him into that water so we could be like him. That's a great analogy. I think it's even deeper than that. And I wonder what you think about this thought. Maybe Jesus entered the water of baptism not for what the water of baptism could do for him, but what he did for the waters of baptism. Chew on that for a minute. Jesus entered the water not for what the water would do for him, but what he would do for the water. A little echo of John, I must decrease so he can increase. This section is getting ready to be over. This part of our expression, there's coming. John proclaimed it. Lord, you need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus was basically saying, John, until I get baptized, it ain't going to stick. But once I get baptized, we proclaim it every Sunday in the Nicene Creed. One baptism. There's no ceremonial cleansing in what we believe. There's no getting clean, going out, getting dirty, and having to come back and get clean again. It's one baptism. Something changed. And I submit to you what changed was Jesus going into the water and changed the entire concept, the entire fiber of what was going on. By Jesus entering the water, he made the waters of baptism holy.
Amen.
Set apart unto God. And every time someone is baptized following Jesus, guess what happens? We are made holy, set apart for the service of God. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Huh? That's pretty deep. Almost as deep as getting dunked. No, it's just one of those things that just kind of jumped out at me. Okay, that it's so something is happening at baptism, and there is that exchange. We just heard it in praise and worship, trading my sorrows. That's the great exchange that's going on when we enter the waters of baptism. That was part one of what I wanted to talk to you about. Or, as some of my friends would know, that was random thought number one. I have a random thought number two, and hopefully by the time I'm done today, one and two will coincide. But I'm going to take it in a whole different direction. Michelle, would you put up first the colic that Father Ed read just before we started the baptismal covenant? We're not going to say the baptismal covenant again, but we're going to look at what you said. We're going to look at what we said. And I want to take it from a level of not just reading words in a bulletin or on a screen, but I want to talk to you about what you just said. And what you were affirming. First off, is there more? Okay. All right, go back, please. This is the collect that Father Ed read. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant that they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen. Leave that right there. Without it wouldn't be me speaking without a definition, right? Okay. That word, they have made and boldly confess. I have heard that word so many times, especially in my Christian walk, confess. I also hear it a lot because I love shows that are detectives, CIA, Law and Orders. I love them. And one of my favorite parts is when the bad guy confesses. Okay? It is. Number one, it means the story's almost over. But you know, that's the end. They confess. Okay? When they confess, it's generally because somebody's known that they've done it, but they want them to affirm the fact that they did it. So they get the confession. Sometimes they got to trick them into it. Other times, you know. But anyway, the guy on Law and Order, Criminal Intent, always looking over at him, looking at him, wondering, oh, that guy. I love him. I forget his name right now, but I love him. What does the word confess mean? Well, it's a two-parter. Con means with. And fess means to say. So when we use the word confess, we are literally saying to say with. Con with, fess to say. So when we confess, we are saying with. Who are we saying with? Thank you. We're saying with God. We confess. We are affirming what God has said. We're not making up something new. We're not speaking out any spanking new revelation here. We are saying with God that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen. When we confess our sins, hello? When we confess our sins, we are saying with God, this is a sin. We're not calling it a sin. God already called it a sin. And now we're just agreeing with him. Yes, Lord, that's in my life and it needs to get away. Kind of just changes the complexion of what's happening. We're aligning ourselves up to the Word of God. We're aligning ourselves up to a lifestyle of what a Christian should be, based on not our standards, but by his. To say with that he is Lord and Savior. Okay, Michelle, if you'll go on to the next screen as we started to renew our covenant, our baptismal covenant. The first thing you'll notice is the baptismal covenant greatly follows the pattern of the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed is first. And then the Nicene Creed came second, and we generally recite the Nicene Creed because it's an expanded version. Why did the creeds come along? Well, very simply stated, the creeds came along because in the early days of the church, they didn't have mass media like we did. They didn't have printing like we did. And they had a lot of sects rise up and say, we're Christian, we're Christian, we're Christian. And they had beliefs all over the place. So the church fathers came together and said, we need a statement of faith. We need a foundation and an outline. This is what it means to be a Christian church. And that's where we get our creeds. And the most accepted creed is the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed just expands the Apostles' Creed, but it does not vary in any theology. It just expands it a little bit. But for baptismal renewal, we do almost a form of the completed Apostles' Creed, but there's some interaction that happens. But the first thing I wanted to point out to us in this and in the Apostles' Creed and in the Nicene Creed, this first statement, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Keep going. Oh, I'm sorry. Go back. I thought there was more. I was reciting the rest of it in my mind. I forgot where it was. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That is such a bold statement. We say it every Sunday. We say it every time we renew our baptismal vows. Do you really know what you're saying when you say that? Do you really know what's happening? There's a lot of things happening, but there's one thing that I wanted to point out that's happening. We are affirming right here our Jewish heritage. We are saying we're not different, we are completed. We are saying we are part of them and they are part of us. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. If you stopped your belief system right there, there is not a Jew that could disagree with that statement. Now they'll disagree with the next one. But right here is common. Right here is common ground. It's the springboard from where our faith came. I've been doing a little study on the Nicene and Apostles' Creed probably over the last 6 months. And just really digging into them and trying to get a real good handle on them. Father Ed and I had an opportunity a month or so ago to play golf with a work acquaintance of mine who happened to be Jewish. And we were playing golf and we were having a great time. He was a great guy. We had a real good time with him. And of course, somewhere around the ninth hole, we started talking about church and religion. And that's when he said, "Oh, Scott, I'm Jewish." I said, "Okay, that's great." And he knew that I was very involved. He knew that Ed and I were very involved in church. He knows that I'm a priest. He was surprised to find out Ed was. But, sorry. I couldn't resist. I just made that up, but it was just right. It was just hanging. It was just hanging. I had to pop it out one time. But anyway, I go, "That's wonderful. As a matter of fact, the church that I go to, Gary, the name of my church is Church of the Messiah, which reflects our high regard for the Jewish religion."
Amen.
And he goes, "It does?" I go, "Yeah." I said, "Because the Jewish religion always was looking for the chosen one, God's Messiah, to come and set them free. And we believe Jesus did that, and he was the Messiah." I said, "But my faith is beholding to your faith."
That's right.
"Because if it wasn't for your faith, I wouldn't have faith."
Amen.
And he stopped in the middle of the golf course. He was getting ready to hit. And he looked over at the cart. Because I was just talking away while he was trying to set. He looked at me. He goes, "You don't hate us Jews?"
What?
And I said, "Gary, no. Honest. I said, "No. We don't. Why do you think we hate you?" "Because we killed Jesus." I mean, but look at. Think about it. They don't know what you know. And trust me, brothers and sisters, there are our brothers and sisters out there who believe that.
Absolutely.